Patients.
Item 1017, a request of Elliot Young to address council regarding the petition for a compassionate response to homelessness.
I had a question. I noticed that all five of the communication slots are written the same. Do you want to come up at the same time or come up separately? It's your choice.
Come up at the same.
Same time. Very good.
How many minutes are there? There's four.
I believe there's
five.
Two,
we all fit, or should we
do no, you, if you want to grab two other chairs, just slide those two chairs up if you want. This and the microphones move around.
I can read the rest of the titles.
Thank you, Carl.
Sure. 1018, a request of Kaya Sand to address council regarding criminalization of homelessness. 1019, request of Alex Gillow-Wiles to address council regarding commentary from Street Roots. 1020, request of Kimberly McCullough to address council regarding compassionate response to homelessness. And 1021, request of Sarah Ayanna Rohn to address council regarding compassionate response to homelessness.
Very good. Good morning. And I don't know if you want to go in the order stated here on the sheet or if you have a different order.
Could we request two people would like to substitute comments from some street vendors who would like to speak? So if we could occupy those five slots, would two of the slots be different people?
I will allow it under this circumstance, but generally the answer to that question is no, because people sign up way in advance for these slots. And I'll be the first to admit they're too far and few in between. But in this case, since you're here and you've made the effort, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So should I go?
Yeah, please.
Okay. My name is Elliot Young. Thank you for hearing our testimony today. I want to first start out by recognizing the tragic death of Patrick Kimmons in our city. And today we're here to bring to you a petition co-sponsored by community activists, religious leaders, civil rights organizations, academics, lawyers, homeless advocates, and one city council candidate. In addition, more than 4,000 individuals from across Portland have signed on to this petition, which very simply asks that we change our strategy for addressing homelessness from one which has resulted in over 53% of arrests being of homeless people to one which actually tries to solve the problems facing them, including lack of housing, mental health and addiction services, and basic hygiene for people living on the streets. Here are five specific recommendations. I believe you have them in front of you to City Council. While we realize that creating affordable housing is a long-term effort, what we are asking can be implemented immediately or in the near future. Number one, develop a robust group of first responders who are trained to deal with mental health and addiction crises, who would be the ones to connect people living on the streets with services. These first responders could also address the livability issues like needles in parks, garbage in neighborhoods, and low-level theft if victims did not want to involve the police. Two, declare a moratorium on sweeps of homeless camps. Until we can offer adequate alternatives, sweeping people from one part of the city to another part of the city is an expensive and harmful way to deal with the housing crisis. Number three, provide basic services for hygiene for people living on the street, including restrooms, water, and garbage disposal. Many residents' complaints stem from the lack of adequate infrastructure for people living on the streets. Addressing basic needs will solve a great part of the problem. Number four, legalize temporary camps on city-owned property, as well as providing services to make them clean, safe, and viable. There are already successful examples of city-sanctioned camps, so let's expand this model. And five, track arrests of homeless people, publish data on a city website, and hold responsible parties accountable for achieving a drastic reduction of arrests. We should not have to rely on the investigative journalism of the Oregonian to learn basic facts about how the city deals with its homeless population. Finally, police always use discretion about the laws they enforce in order to deploy their limited resources more effectively. We agree with the police union that the police are not the best people to be addressing what is at the root a social problem. The mayor himself last June asked the police not to enforce violations of people at the ICE occupation. So we're asking that City Council use such discretion again to stop arresting people living on the streets for low-level offenses. While reasonable people can disagree about the most effective ways to address the crisis of homelessness, we must all affirm the dignity and humanity of people living on the streets. The recent vigilante actions by Portlanders who videotape and photograph people entering a needle exchange program is a dangerous descent into mob dehumanization of our most vulnerable neighbors. So I call on the mayor and city council to stop mass incarceration of homeless people and to speak out against the dangerous anti-homeless vigilante actions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Annette Johnson, and I'm a street root vendor. I've been a vendor since October of last year when I got hurt at the Oregon Golf Club as a dishwasher. And prior to that, I started using heroin in Seattle, Washington at the age of 15. I was addicted to heroin and cocaine for a good 30 years, so I've been to prison 5 times in the state of Washington. And my mom used to come here when we were kids and play at Portland. We used to go to Portland Meadows to the racetrack. So one day I got on the bus and decided to come to Portland to get away from everybody wondering why I couldn't stop using drugs, because I couldn't figure it out. So drugs were easy to get here on the streets of Portland 24/7, unlike Seattle back in 98. So I started here, and I got arrested. I was homeless, addicted. And they arrested me and took me to Multnomah County Jail, and they let me out immediately. And with the charges that I was arrested for, I would have been sent to prison in Washington. After going to jail so many times, Judge Sidney Galton, I got arrested for selling $5 worth of crack to an undercover cop. They were going to give me 2 years for it. Instead, they realized I wasn't a drug dealer, that I had other issues. So they got me the psychological evaluation, got me to treatment at DePaul. I got kicked out, then Volunteers of America. And if I didn't complete treatment, I was due to go to prison. So long story short, I saw other drug addicts in the treatment center working, and I started copying what they did. And that was study those books, study something. You don't have to be a drug addict on Skid Row no more. Moving forward, I have 14 years clean and sober on February. I might have 15, actually. Anyway, on February 22nd, but I'm happy. I live in affordable housing at Gray's Landing down on Southwest Waterfront across from the immigration office. I have mental health issues. I would walk up and down the street just lost. And so one day I asked a lady at jail, can you give me the ugliest booking picture that you have of me? And she said, turned around 20 and said, you need to pick. Long story short, when the people are down here on the streets, I'm want to know with the city or anybody else, if it was you, didn't have a place to stay, had mental issues, drug issues, who would you want to come out there and get you? Who would you send? The police? Food is not a cure. Money's not a cure. Drug treatment and housing is not the main cure. There is hope for people like them out there. As far as who's going to provide that help, it's going to take more than just a house to stay, because a lot of people can't function no more. The longer they stay out there, the worse the problem is. There was an 89-year-old woman that was killed in Northeast Portland, a mother, a grandmother. She's dead because of mental illness. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette. Appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Good morning.
Morning. Hi, my name is Leo Rhodes, and I'm also a street roots vendor and homeless advocate. I'm clean and sober, been clean and sober since 2001 when I started my advocacy. But being clean and sober, I'm also being victimized by the police, by the community, because everybody thinks all homeless people are drunks, druggies, and mentally ill. I'm neither one of those. And there was a lot of, when I first started my advocacy, like within the first couple of years, I had elected officials, church leaders, even people, all these influential people, even people in affordable housing, trying to get me into affordable housing, but couldn't get me in there because I was clean and sober. I wasn't a drunk, a druggie, or mentally ill. So there's a lot of homeless people out there, what I call the functional homeless people, that can't get inside but are being victimized by the way people are thinking of homeless homelessness. When you talk about the mental illness, there's a lot of sleep deprivation out there, which can be thought of as mental illness, but it's not. When you're not getting enough sleep, your health goes bad, and you also make wrong decisions, which other people think that there's something wrong with you. The housing issue is great, but that's a long-term goal. It takes 2 to 5 years for that to happen. So what you're basically telling people when you say, I'm all about affordable housing, is wait, homeless people, wait for 2 to 5 years until we get enough affordable housing. Sometimes we don't hit that mark, and you have to wait a little bit longer. And if you're clean and sober, you have to wait a little bit longer than that. You're being victimized out there all this time because of the way people think, which is really, really bad on homeless people when they're trying to help themselves, they're trying to pick themselves on up, but yet we have non-homeless people that come on over and tell us that we're mentally ill, we're lazy, that we don't want to get a job, we're unkept, things like that. Yet it's the way the people have put homeless people through this stuff. There are a lot of services out there, but just not enough services out there. One of the biggest things that I like is Right to Dream 2. Now, there's a place for people to go to get some sleep, at least get a, let their hair down a little bit time, you know, and most places you can't do that. So, yeah, that's what we need is more Right to Dream 2s, tent cities, and shelters for a temporary solution until we have enough affordable housing. Because me, I am traumatized by all of this stuff. You know, I might not show it, but yeah, I've been victimized many times out there. And there are a lot of homeless people out there because of the mindset people put in people's minds, not homeless people's minds. So just want to, can't say it now. Did want to read a poem, but I ran out of time. So thank you.
Thank you for being here. And congratulations on that's almost, looks like 18 years clean and sober.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, December
great.
Will be 18 years.
It's a long road. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Members of Council, my name is Kimberly McCullough. I'm the Policy Director for the ACLU of Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning and for the opportunities that each of you have given me to have conversations with you outside these chambers. I look forward to more dialogue and conversation. I want to say I love this city, I believe in this city, and I believe in our ability to recognize when we are making mistakes and our ability to do better. Crucial to that is more and better communication and collective learning, and my hope is that this morning will contribute to that. Please note I've supplemented my testimony with some information I hope you consider. You don't have it in front of you, but the clerk has it. One is a recent press release about the related issue of business improvement districts, and it has some policy recommendations, and then also a recent report that provides practical guidance for authorized homeless encampments. And that's from Seattle University. Although we're here asking you for policy changes at the outset, I don't want you to think that we're saying that you aren't trying or the city hasn't taken steps to try to address these issues. I've heard from each of you about things the city has done, and we thank you for those things. At the same time, there's also things that are operating in our policies and our systems that are both causing harm and not helping to alleviate homelessness, and that are also diverting resources from solutions that would help. More specifically, those things that are causing harm and diverting our resources are the repeated displacement of people who have no safe place to go, repeated police contact for people who have experienced trauma, and criminal justice system involvement for people who truly just need services and a place to safely sleep. As long as over 50% of arrests in the city are of homeless, are of our houseless neighbors, there's something fundamentally wrong with our policies and systems that we have put in place to address this emergency. This situation with massive numbers of our friends and neighbors without housing and without safety truly is a state of emergency. It's similar to the city experiencing massive flooding or earthquakes or another natural disaster that has forced people from their homes. And I believe that if such a massive displacement happened due to a sudden disaster, we would not respond in some of the ways that we're responding to this current crisis. I believe we would not give up on finding safe places for people to gather and seek safety, like authorized camps on public property. I believe we would work together with our neighbors to address the hygiene needs of our displaced neighbors. And I don't believe that we would think that more police was the answer. So speaking of police, I want to be very clear here. I have personally spoken with a variety of folks in law enforcement on this issue, from officers to representatives of the police union, to folks higher up in the chain, and those conversations lead me to believe that many in law enforcement also believe that more police is not the solution to addressing homelessness. We have set up a system where it is somehow law enforcement's responsibility to fix this problem, but they literally can't fix it. More policing, more sweeps, more identification checks, which I still am getting reports about happening, those things are not going to help. Instead, we need to work together to create non-law enforcement responses and alternatives to our current practices. And we need the city council and our local government to help us educate the public about how alternative solutions will work. These conversations aren't easy. There's a lot of frustration all around. But as I said before, I believe in this city, and I believe we can do better.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us here today. My colleagues worked really hard to put this all together. Over 4,000 people signed our petition so far once the Oregonian report came out that over half of the arrests last year in Portland were of homeless people. It seems like just yesterday we were here arguing against adding more police in the last budget cycle. We said that we did not want this additional money going to new police officers because we anticipated that that would affect our homeless population negatively. It feels like yesterday that we were here arguing that increased police staffing would not improve livability overall in Portland, and later we were vindicated by the Oregonian report. But the homeless population and their advocates argued that the additional police staffing would negatively impact their lives through the profiling, harassment, and sweeps they experience. This is disturbing. We need to be listening better. We were here in April. We asked you not to add those additional police. We were not heard. And now we're circling back again and saying we need you to listen to us. Meanwhile, neighborhood groups, following in many ways the lead of the decisions made by this council, are coalescing in places like Lentz, Creston, Kenilworth, and you'll even see people from Montevilla potentially here this afternoon, saying they also want more policing around urban livability issues. But this isn't really about livability. This is about excluding people experiencing homelessness from the public eye, from neighborhoods, from communities. As we come to you with this request, we need to be thinking at the 30,000-foot level about the direction we're going to take forward for our city and how we're going to define livability in the future. Who are these additional police serving? Who are they making safer? They're certainly not making the cyclists who relied on better NATO safer, nor the man and his child who were injured by a motorist trying to cross 122nd Avenue last night. They're not making human rights demonstrators safer who are arguing against white supremacist hate groups, ICE, or the Trump administration. They're not making mentally ill people like John Elifritz or black people like Jason Washington and Patrick Kimmon safer. And as we've clearly demonstrated today, additional police are not making our homeless people safer. What we need to think about is, are we going to make Portland a place that feels safe for elites, for a business class? Are we going to administer our police to attract capital investment and keep Portland a place that seems good for doing business? Or will we focus on deploying our limited resources with regard to public safety and truly making Portland a place that is safe and livable for everyone? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. If I could just make a couple of comments. First of all, I thought that was a very well-prepared, excellent, and thoughtful presentation, so thank you for that. You may be surprised to hear that I agree with much, in fact, the vast majority of everything that you've just said. First of all, let me say that I agree wholeheartedly that the police are being put into a nearly impossible situation. They are, along with other first responders, fire, EMTs, they are now the first responders to a homeless crisis that I think most of us now acknowledge is the result of failures upstream. And you referred to some of those things longer term. It's support for lower income and workforce housing. You indicated that there needs to be a more aggressive posture with regard to mental health service delivery, with regard to addiction treatment, and I was very pleased to hear our folks from Street Roots, Annette, talking about her successful efforts to overcome her addiction, and now she's been clean and sober for nearly two decades, as was the other gentleman, and I applaud you too, sir. I think that's fantastic. We talked, or you talked, about innovative alternatives that get people off the street and out of the elements, and there's no question that this council has been unified around working hard, whether it is shelter, and I know some of you who just presented worked side by side with us on the foster shelter. That was a very, very difficult and contentious issue, but an important one. Some of you worked alongside of us as we found an alternative location for our R2-D2, which we did, and I think it's been a huge success. Some of you worked with us on the Kenton Women's Village, which was a tiny home urban experiment, which has been very, very well received. In the Kenton neighborhood, we're working with private sector partners, Homer Williams, Tim Boyle, Robert Stoll, and others on the Haven for Hope model, potentially under the Morrison Bridge. And so we're looking for those opportunities. I was very pleased to hear somebody say we need to track the data, collect and track the data. I could not agree with you more on that point. And the budget that this council adopted a few months ago actually has three more data analysts, and it focused on issues around public safety in particular, and this is an important part of that data collection effort. I want to tell you that it is current police policy that we do not arrest people for being homeless. There is no policy that would support arresting somebody because they are homeless. We do have obligations around public safety in this community. And if you were here, and I think Sarah, excuse me, Mr. Walsh, I think Sarah mentioned that if you were here last week, you would have heard a different panel with a very different perspective on this. There's, of course, the Montevilla petition that I will be in receipt of shortly, and I hope to talk with the people of Montevilla who I think share many, if not all, of your views with regard to this. Not to be confused by the Montevilla petition I received last year saying that we were too soft on issues around homelessness and criminality and livability. It has been my objective to separate these issues, have a compassionate, effective, data-driven approach around homelessness that includes prevention. We supported 6,000 people last year through the joint office in that regard. Shelter. We supported 8,500 people last year through our shelter system, and the transition into housing. Last year, 6,000 people were transitioned either off the streets or out of shelter into housing. And then, yes, we're also being very aggressive on the long-term play around housing. When it comes to public safety, we have an obligation around criminality. I do want to gently push back on the notion that the current circumstances around law enforcement are in any way impacted by the city council's budget this year around policing. There is no proof of that. In fact, I will give you contrary proof. We supported funding for 58 new police officers. We also supported funding for an expansion of the behavioral health unit, which pairs mental health professionals alongside first responders so that the mental health professionals are making that initial contact. We also supported funding for the service coordination team, which helps work with people in addiction recovery who have interactions with the criminal justice system so that those interactions end and they can go about their lives and enjoy the benefits of the hard work that they've put into their recovery efforts. But the officers that we hired, the street beat officers, it takes 18 months for them to go through the certification and training. They won't hit the streets of this city for another year. So you cannot draw conclusions based on the budget that we just passed. Lastly, but not leastly, we need to figure out as a community how to come together on this issue. It is a highly divisive issue in the community right now. And as long as we remain divided as a community on this very, very important social challenge, we're going to struggle to make real results. And I was very encouraged when I met with mayors from all around the state on Saturday of this week at the League of Oregon Cities down in Eugene, and our only subject of conversation for the day was homelessness. We talked about where are the points of commonality and agreement that we can get behind and support, because I got to tell you, if Portland, Oregon can't figure out how to get out of this situation with regard to homelessness and poverty and income inequality and mental health and addiction issues that are going untreated and a lack of housing, if we cannot figure out how to get out of this box together, it doesn't paint a very hopeful picture for anywhere else. We can do it. And so I appreciate your being here today. I appreciate the meetings that you've already done with us, the time and the energy that you have personally invested in this issue. And I look forward to continuing to work with you. Hold me accountable, as you are, where you feel that I need to be held accountable or my colleagues need to be held accountable. But in exchange, I'm asking for something too. I'm asking for you to work with us hand in hand on the parts of your agenda where we're in agreement. Can we do that? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
I just wanted to thank all of you for coming today and for the suggestions that you have offered. It was a stark contrast between the panel we had, between this panel and the panel we had last week from a particular neighborhood who started with a laundry list of complaints about the homeless, did not offer any compassion, let alone solutions, and ended with telling us we were making it too hard to be landlords in this city. Mayor was surprised I didn't jump in on that, but I really honestly felt like it would be an exercise in futility because there's just such a lack of understanding in the broader community about the forces that are that have brought us to where we are today. There's a 96% correlation between housing affordability and homelessness. So anyone who wants to tell me that we're making it too hard to be a landlord or that regulating our rental market is not going to help this crisis doesn't know what they're talking about, frankly. I agree with all of your solutions. I also agree that more police is not going to remedy the livability issues that people associate with homelessness, which is really the only justification I was hearing for the increase. I didn't want the increase. I never received the rationalization for police staffing that I wanted. I pushed back. We got less than they wanted. It wasn't satisfactory to anyone. So I just want to say I sympathize with that. And finally, I am ready and willing to work on all of these items with all of you. I have been working on them, but we also need to bring these issues to the county. We don't have all the resources here, especially around mental health and addiction, and to the state and to the federal government. I mean, city council, city hall does not have the capacity to provide all the services and the housing that's needed. And then the other, I guess, favor I want to ask is just keep talking to your friends and family and neighbors, because every time I shouldn't say every time, often it seems like an obvious solution. We need a dumpster here. We need a porta potty there. We need hygiene centers. No one wants them in their neighborhoods. And I don't know when we're going to reach that critical point where we just start providing them regardless of public sentiment, but it would really help if people were more informed and more willing to cooperate and support these efforts. So thank you.
Thank you. Colleague.